Good morning. It's 9:15 a.m. Wednesday, May 13th, 2015. I will call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting for today to order. Good morning to all. We will begin with an invocation, and then Councilman Carraway will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Giving our invocation today is Andrew Wormelskirchen from Highland Park United Methodist Church. Andrew is a middle school pastor at Highland Park United Methodist. He is currently in seminary at Perkins Theological Seminary at SMU, pursuing a Master's of Theology. He and his wife, Allison, live in Dallas. Thank you, Andrew, for being here. All rise. Thank you.
Let's pray. Eternal and gracious God, we thank you for today. God, you are so good. In your goodness, you gave the gifts and talents and ability of mayor, the city council members. And we pray that as this meeting goes on this morning, that you can lead the decisions and lead the decisions that are made here this morning to bless the city. And we ask that all the people listening that come from many faiths and many languages will support. God, we ask that in everything that we do this morning, that we can allow these decisions to be made to bless the city of Dallas. God, we love you so much. We pray this all in your Son, Jesus Christ, holy and precious and mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and we will begin our morning speakers. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your first five registered speakers are William Hopkins, Norma Minnis, Regina Imbrugia, William Wynn, and Richard Sheridan. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety and decorum and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any person making pertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from the session of the meeting. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. You should state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Again, first speaker is William Hopkins.
Good morning, Mr. Hopkins.
Hey, Mr. Mayor Rawlings. Yeah, I'm William Hopkins. Mayor Rawlings, did they give you the lawsuit? Did they give everybody the lawsuit? The handout?
Yeah.
You got it? Okay. Mayor Rawlings, this is the same lawsuit I gave you in your first day on the job 4 years ago. I gave you this lawsuit where The city of Dallas and the state of Texas sued the RS lead smelter in, say, 81 or 83. That's when they got the money. The city of Dallas and the state of Texas sued and got the money. Now, the first sheet, Mayor Rawlings, is where the city is telling the people in West Dallas that they didn't have no involvement in the lead settlement, in the lawsuit with the RSR. That's what they're telling the people on the first sheet I gave you. You've been having this 4 years. Your family owned slaves. I don't know if they got to do with the blacks dying in West Dallas, and you sitting there 4 years and haven't said nothing. But the first sheet is where the city telling the people in West Dallas that they didn't have nothing to do with the lawsuit with the RSR. And the next sheet is where the city and the state sued the RSR, Liz Smelter. Steve Woolen, Laura Miller's husband, Steve Woolen, was a state representative. And the state and the city, the state of Texas and the city sued. So Steve Woolen was a state representative. His law firm did it. He was working for Fred Byron, Lisa Blue, Dorothy Bud, and Russell Bud. For the Fred Byron and Bud law firm, Laura Miller's husband was working for the law firm, and he was a state representative when the state sued. So what they did, Steve Woolen, Laura Miller's husband, and the city of Dallas got together, and instead of the state helping the black people in West Dallas, Steve Woolen and Laura Miller and them fixed it where the law firm, his law firm, Fred Byron and Bud and Russell Bud law firm can handle the case. And then Fred Byron and Russell Bud and them sued the city. The city already had the money, Merle Rawlings. So what Russell Bud and Steve Woolen and them do is get together and sue the city for the money that the city already had. The city already sued. They were so bigoted and racist, they didn't want to give the people in West Dallas the money. So they let Fred Byron and Bud and Russell Bud and them sue to get the money. So Russell Bud and them, the lawsuit, they like put it and sealed it so nobody can't see what's going on. And so, and then they had John Wiley Price to bring the people and the preachers to the Boys Club in 1985 and tell the people, don't tell nobody and get this money. They get about $6 million in the Boys Club. Don't go to court because, you know, we had Fred Byron and Russell Budden and might have to pay the taxes. So they get about $60 million. Don't pay the taxes. Don't tell the federal government and the city and the state to keep the money. And now y'all finna use the money, Laura Miller and them and Ron Kirk and the rest of them, they finna use the money for this Trinity River toll thing. They done already got the money, done stole the money. I'm going to tell the FBI the same story, Merle Rollins. The city already got the money, so now Laura Miller and them finna help them steal the money that the city already got for the blacks and give it to the Trinity River corridor. And I'm going to tell the FBI the same story, Merle Rollins.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Norma Menes. Ms. Menes is not present. Regina Ambergia. Ms. Ambergia will be followed by William Wynn, Richard Sheridan, and Crystal Malone.
I'm Regina Ambergia, and I'm from the District 14. Mayor, today I want to start out talking about transparency. Scott Griggs, Philip Kingston, they're all about transparency when it deals with the Trinity Project. Our city manager is all about transparency when he was rebuilding the website. It's all about transparency. And this first document you'll be getting from the city is all about transparency and why we have streaming. Why do we stream the events in city council and the briefing meetings? It's to include the public. Well, last month, I guess fluoride and transparency don't go together, because last month we had three videos that were approved by the city manager's office, and we played them, but they were blocked. They were blocked, and it wasn't an accident. It wasn't a glitch. It was told to Chris Mathis to block the videos from streaming, and that order came from the city attorney. So I'm still looking into it. I got this far with it, finding out how much it costs to stream and why do we stream. But I haven't found out exactly why the person found in the council procedures 3.3E that says you don't need to stream the videos of the open mic presentations. Now, on January 28th, they streamed. Mayor, you were giving a cake to Sandy Grayson for her birthday. They stream that. They stream a lot of things all the time. But these three videos that were exposing fluoridation, they were exposing the CDC statement, they were exposing a lot of things about hydrofluorosilicic acid and the dangers of it, they were blocked. You'll see the people standing at the mic, and it was silence. Okay? This is something that should concern the citizens that are now hearing this. The next thing is, this last month, Health and Human Services lowered the recommended level of fluoride in the water. We all might have heard this. Okay. Well, the recommended level was a range. It was 0.7 parts per million to 1.2 parts per million. They have lowered the higher range 40%. But they didn't talk anything about the lower one, the 0.7 parts per million that Dallas treats to. And the reason it's lower in Dallas is because of the hotter weather. More people drink more water. City workers drink more water when they're doing their job. So now, are they going to ask for maybe a canister of reverse osmosis water on their truck? Because I have also given you a document, because I have all the levels of how much fluoride was in the water for 2013. You have two pages that see that they exceed the 0.7 parts per million, which is the recommended low. Okay, guys, this is serious. I've been talking about we already have 0.5 parts per million in the water anyways, but you proceeded to decide to put more hydrofluorosilicic acid in the water. And Mr. Callahan says we tweak it. Sometimes we take it in. Sometimes we put it out or whatever. But there is no equipment to take it out. So I'd like to eventually hear what he has to say about that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Your next speaker, William Wynn. Mr. Wynn will be followed by Richard Sheridan and Crystal Malone.
My name is William Wynn. I live in Dallas in District 13. Mayor Rawlings, it's well known that the opinions of celebrities can carry a lot of political clout. By their charisma, celebrities can easily interest the public in hot-button issues and sway the public to vote their way. With that in mind, I have something new to tell you. The well-known celebrity and environmental activist Erin Brockovich recently announced that she now opposes water fluoridation. You'll probably remember the movie Erin Brockovich, the hit Hollywood feature film from the year 2000. That movie starred Julia Roberts as a tenacious whistleblower who exposed the contamination of the public groundwater of Hinckley, California, by carcinogenic hexavalent chromium. Julia's portrayal of Miss Brockovich was unforgettable, and it won her the Academy Award for Best Actress in 2000. But the real-life Erin Brockovich is not interested in Hollywood glitter. She's a fighter and a woman of courage and integrity. 2 weeks ago, she sponsored a 24-page letter that was sent to the National Academy of Sciences and the Institute of Medicine. The letter is a coolly reasoned and exhaustively documented summary of the harmful effects of fluoride. The letter concludes with a statement that, quote, there is no evidence of a scientifically valid, safe exposure level for fluoride, unquote. The letter also states that it constitutes official notice to the NAS and the IOM, and that failure of those bodies and their affiliates to address the issues raised could result in future legal action. Mayor Rawlings and council members, please remember that you have the power to stop the artificial fluoridation of Dallas city water at any time. Right now is better than tomorrow or next year. We already have way too much fluoride coming from natural sources anyway. Someday, the practice of municipal fluoridation will be stopped. The only question is how long it takes for that to happen. When celebrities well known for their integrity, celebrities like Erin Brockovich, begin to get involved with the issue of fluoridation, we all know that fluoridation's days are numbered. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you.
Richard Sheridan. Mr. Sheridan will be followed by Crystal Malone.
Yes, good morning, Richard Sheridan, 11301 Dennis Road, Dallas, Texas. Thank you, Gwen. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, God. The Dallas May election, the theft of democracy. Webster's Dictionary defines pride as an over-opinion of oneself and exaggerated self-esteem. It says in the Bible that pride goeth before the fall. In today's language, this saying means that those who are overconfident, who are too arrogant, are likely to fail. Have we recently seen arrogance during the recent election? Have we been given the arrogance of a flyer that says that the new vision, Trinity River Parkway, is now the solution to the ongoing Trinity River Project war? Has this new vision been accepted by the Army Corps? Would the Corps accept thousands of trees as a buffer between the highway and the park? Was it arrogance for the flyer to state that the Trinity Park will become one of America's greatest parks? A park that will flood 2 to 3 times a year, and a 7-mile-long park which wouldn't have bathrooms. Ladies, excuse me, and men with prostate problems, or just regular men, I'm telling you. To me, this new vision flyer makes the Army Corps look like incompetent fools, and in their hands today, they will have this flyer and backup material. Spoke personally to the man on the phone. How many votes were influenced by this arrogant, lying new vision flyer? Was this flyer part of vote fraud, which presented misleading information to the voters so they would vote for the seated mayor, where had the truth been told, the seated mayor might have been defeated? There was another flyer that was mailed just before the May 9th election, stated that Dallas is now the safest it's been since the 1930s. Contrast this, I allege, blatant lie with the fact that in 14 years, 70 unarmed black and Hispanic men have been killed by the Dallas police, and not one of the policemen have been indicted for murder, and there is a lawsuit against the City of Dallas Police Department for excessive force as well as for killing 70 unarmed men. There were many reports of vote fraud during the recent election. Some members are here, and there's a filing going to the DA, and there is a federal lawsuit in progress, such as paying people to vote, incompetent voting ballots, misdirection. There's only two candidates for mayor, not being able to vote for me. I was given zero by certain people. And who's front and center? Who controls the election office in this city? Who controlled the election office 4 years ago? And what mayor paid that man $350,000? But we don't talk about that anymore. We don't talk about that anymore. Mr. Price has been serving Dallas, very powerful, rich, white men. The 1% is the racist amongst us who cause untold suffering of tens of thousands of Dallas minority residents. Black means something. Blacks mean something. So thank you, Mayor Rawlins, and your alleged co-conspirators, and say you now have hung yourselves, and justice is now coming to the prideful of Dallas, to the arrogant amongst us, to the Dallas racist RICO conspiracy. I pray to God.
Thank you, Ms. Sheridan.
Your next speaker, Crystal Malone. Coming forward. Ms. Malone will be the final speaker this morning. All remaining speakers will be called after all items have been considered.
Good morning. My name is Crystal Malone, and I'm in District 14. Thank you all for your time. I'm coming to you and standing on behalf of the Full Gospel Holy Temple Church. I'm coming to you with a petition that was originally presented to you by Mr. Dwayne Carraway. So we, the members of Full Gospel Holy Temple Church Incorporated, would like to submit to the City of Dallas and the Dallas County residents, Dallas County officials, and all interested parties a petition renaming Bain Bridge Drive to Lobias Murray Drive. The late Apostle Lobias Murray was the founder of the visionary of Full Gospel Holy Temple that's located on 39727 LBJ Freeway in Dallas, Texas 75237. For 50 years before his passing in December 2011, it's been about 4 years now, Apostle Murray is well known amid the Dallas community surrounding areas and as well as throughout the nations. Our Honorable Apostle Murray is highly respected and regarded as a gospel giant, a five-star general, a prince among preachers, a servant leader, and a mighty man of God throughout the world. We are asking the Dallas County Council to approve our proposal to rename Bainbridge Drive to Lobias Murray Drive. We would like for Apostle Lobias Murray to be noted as a man of vision, integrity, and wisdom. Apostle Murray is the epitome of the Bible when it talks about Titus 1 and 8. He was truly a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, holy, temperate. And also in 1979, Apostle Murray opened the first African-American private school, K-12 accredited school in Texas, where Deion Sanders has his school now. That original building was put up by the late Apostle Lobias Murray. He has an outreach ministry that he devoted to providing nutritious food and grocery products, clothing stores, shoes, toys needed, homeless families in the Dallas community, and have been aided. So thousands of families have actually been aided by this. That's still ongoing even after his death. Since the inception in 1981 of the Helping Hand Ministry, thousands of families in the Dallas community, again, have been aided. We have nursing homes, juvenile centers, all built off of the legacy of him. The members of Full Gospel Holy Temple Incorporated said farewell to a Renaissance man, a principal architect in the community, a religious icon, a humanitarian, a pioneer in the educational arena, and a legend who walked among us. We approve and support the renaming of Bainbridge Drive, and we hope that you echo our sentiments as we honor his legacy by changing Bainbridge Drive, to Lobias Murray Drive. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your morning speakers. Your first item for consideration with a needed correction are approval of minutes of the April 22, 2015 meeting for addendum item number 22. The final vote needs to show that with all the city council present, only council member Griggs voted in opposition to approval of the item.
Do we have a motion to approve?
With the amendment.
We have motion with the amendment and second. Any discussion, other edits or amendments? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We proceed now to your consent agenda. However, we do have one individual registered.
Yes.
We do have one individual registered to speak on all agenda items. That is Marvin Crenshaw. Mr. Crenshaw, if you'll please come forward. You're allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please identify any particular items. Thank you.
I'm Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. I signed up to speak on all agenda items, in particular agenda item number 9 and 22. Mr. Mayor, you had the national, with the mayor's conference in Dallas, national mayor's conference in Dallas, with mayors all across the city, across the United States. And many cities, and I'm talking about as far as the budget is concerned, on agenda item number 9, is that, and globally, they're not investing any money or doing business with companies that are doing business with the apartheid government of Israel, which has moved so far to the extreme right that everyone is speaking out against it. And hopefully that this city will follow all the universities, the colleges, university colleges, religious institutions who are doing this, because we realize that there's a difference in doing these things and looking at this budget between Judaism and Zionism. That is a big struggle that's going on within the Jewish community right now. And when we look at this budget, Mr. Mayor, we want you to realize that, because I know that you have some interest, or you've with Pizza Hut, you might have suffered from BDS, and that's boycott, divest, and sanctions against Israel. And we're going to ask the boards and commissions, police and fire pension fund boards, the city employees, pension fund boards, not to invest in that in Israel, because of the atrocities that are being committed against the Palestinians. In Gaza last summer, 2,200 civilians were killed, murdered. 500 of them were children. And the reason we speak out against it in this country is because of the fact that we give $3.1 billion overall supporting Israel. We've been doing it for 67 years. So we have a responsibility when we look at our budget, Mr. Mayor, and those boards and pension people who are on there. We have an obligation, because it was wrong during the Holocaust. It was wrong during the Holocaust against the Native Americans. It was wrong during the Holocaust or the internment of the Japanese in this country. It was wrong when lands were taken in Texas. And it was wrong during, for us as African Americans, when we suffered. So how in the world are we going to just sit here and act like nothing happened? We're not involved in it. We give $3.1 billion, Mr. Mayor, and you have to speak up. You know the issue better than anyone. You know it, because I've done my research on yours also. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw.
Thank you. We proceed now to approval of the consent agenda. Your consent agenda consists of agenda items number 2 through 21 and addendum items number 1 through 6. Agenda item number 19 is being deleted by the city manager. Addendum item number 2 is pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Gates. Therefore, for your approval, you have agenda items number 2 through 18, 20 through 21, addendum item number 1, and addendum items number 3 through 6.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve? And we've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to addendum item number 2 is authorized number 1, supplemental agreement number 2 for renewal of the interlocal agreement with Dallas County Schools, DCS, to administer and enforce the school bus stop arm enforcement program for the period June 25, 2015 through May 22, 2062, And number two, disbursement of funds from the joint escrow account for certain DCS expenses associated with the operation of the school crossing guard program. Councilmember Gates, pull the item.
Thank you. I will take who's up first, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. If I could, I'd like to move approval with one addition made to this, that we shorten the term from, I think, 40 years or whatever.
47.
What years? 47 years to down to 20 to 25.
Excuse me. I think we need to be specific, right?
Okay. All right.
You can't be 20.
25.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
We got a second. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I pulled this item because back in September I had asked, I had 11 constituents that have reached out that felt like they couldn't work through the process to contest a ticket, that they were getting a second notice when they didn't receive the first, and I didn't feel like I had reconciliation of that. I had asked, and since we have taken on the some of the responsibility related to the fines, right? Could you come forward, Mr. Campbell? So, could you kind of explain that relationship with the city, with the adjudication process?
Yes, ma'am. The program is actually run through Dallas County Schools, and the city is responsible for the adjudication process of the tickets once they're issued. So we're doing the adjudication side of the program, but the actual program is run through Dallas County Schools.
Right. And that's really where the piece where I had constituents reach out. I'd asked for this to be briefed in September. Wasn't Mr. Griggs, I think, had signed it also. We weren't briefed, and now it's asked to be passed, this interlocal agreement. To me, I thought the excessive amount of years, I think that has been addressed. But is there still a possibility of briefing it so we can understand and make sure that our constituents are treated fairly?
Yes, ma'am. The next public safety meeting is scheduled on May 26th, but there is a possibility that it could be reassigned into another committee if that's what council desires to do.
I guess I would have to make a motion to have it deferred or sent to committee before we vote on it.
Okay. I mean, you can make a motion to that if you want.
Okay. Could I have a motion to send it to? I guess Mr. Allen's not here, which is good.
No, I don't mind.
On it, or
we can put it to his committee on Monday. But you need to make that motion yourself.
Okay. I'd like to make the motion to see if we could put it to Budget Finance on it, so we can just make sure that these. I know I met with Dallas County Schools. They've been very cooperative in sharing information. But I just think this is a pretty big long-term contract, even at 20, 25 years, and be good to have all the facts out. So.
Okay. So there's a motion to defer following the briefing of Budget, Finance, and Audit. Do we have a second to that motion? You'll second? Okay. Thank you. Further discussion, anything else? Okay. Mr. Atkins.
Mr. Campbell, I guess when you first came aboard to the city of Dallas, this did come to your attention, right, this particular agenda item?
Yeah, it was brought to my attention in the late fall. I got here in October, so it was the latter part of the fall when the item was brought to my attention.
Right. So I guess that this particular item is also linked to the timing in Austin, Texas, about based on the legislature, what they might do in the future, right?
Yes, sir. There is some pending legislation right now.
Could you explain that to the council, what might happen? Is this be delayed?
And I'll ask Ilyanovich to help me with this, but I believe there's pending legislation right now that would outlaw the actual program. However, if the program is implemented, our contract is approved by June 1st, then we will be grandfathered in to continue the program as we currently operate it.
Right. I guess I talked to AC this morning, and he said there was some memos circling to all the council members who's on the public safety to explain why we are moving this forward. Did that you was part of that CC?
I sent an email to all the members of the Public Safety Committee outlining why it wasn't briefed and why it had not been received a full briefing, and that I had sent a memo outlining the program for the last public safety agenda.
Right. Mayor, my concern is, Mayor, that we have been talking about this for many, many months, many, many years. I've been looking at cameras on the buses. You know, those cameras on the buses, very, very, the prices. I know some people say the ticket is too high. I don't care if the ticket is too high, but I also look at the value of a child. You know, without those cameras on the buses, you do not know what is going on. In the past 2 or 3 months on TV, nationwide, if you have saw the news brief that this outraged person drove around the school bus with the cameras, and it's been virals all over America right now. I hope that this is not is being delayed because of the price, the cost of the ticket, the adjudication of the ticket. I think that when we put those cameras on those bus, that there is a cost, and I don't know anyone can answer us. What was the cost of putting all those cameras on the Dallas County school bus? Is anyone here could answer that question?
Yes, Councilman. Rick Sorrell, Superintendent, Dallas County Schools. Approximately $10,000 per bus.
So what was the total cost?
The total cost, we put them on about 900. They're actually on all of our fleet of over 1,600.
So have we recovered the cost with fines to pay for that yet?
We have not.
We have not. So you do not know we will ever recover that cost, because it depends on the driving behaviors of people who get fined. If they don't get fined, we probably never recover the cost. So is that a fair question?
And in fact, when we look at the results, we know the program's working. After 1 year, the number of citations was down approximately 25%. So it does change behavior and make kids safer, which is what we're attempting to do.
And talk about the legislator in Austin, Texas. If we do not move this forward on a fast pace, what would happen down in Austin?
I think it puts the entire program at risk. I think it puts the program that we have, this program as well, the other one that's tied with it, which is the Crossing Guard program, I think it puts that whole program at risk to delay it. You may or may not have had an opportunity with an early meeting to see the editorial for the Dallas Morning News this morning. It highlights some of the issues associated and mentions the program in that it was attached to a bill. So we have, I think there's considerable risk without very much reward for the delay.
And I guess, Ms. Gate, you asked to just be briefing on the finance audit, and Jerry and I here today. You are saying that this should be briefed and come back to the full council on a certain date or what?
Yes, I think it could be brought back on May 27th. That's, I think, our next agenda date.
Okay, Mayor, I know you've spoken for Jerry. Jerry's not here, and he do control the chair of what go on that briefing. So are you speaking for him?
Yes, I am.
Control the chair for that?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I guess if do we have enough time, AC, to make sure that we got adequate time to be briefed on Monday? In fact, I haven't seen a briefing yet. I know that, you know, we run a fast time ship on finance audit, so I'm just trying to find out.
The information is essentially put together, and so, yes, a briefing could be done Monday.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway, very much. But that's what I'm trying to find out. You know, if we need to get briefed, let's get briefed, but I want to make sure you do come back to the full council. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can you all explain the reasoning behind the 47-year term?
There were two programs that were adopted at the same time. One was the Stop Arm program, which is what is before you today, and then the other was the Crossing Guard program. The intent was that they would run together and work together. The Stop Arm contract was originally done for only a short amount of time with it to come back for renewal. The Crossing Guard program was actually given a 30-year time frame with two 10-year renewals. Because of the legislation that's before in Austin and the fact that they're grandfathering in any contract in existence prior to June 1st, we wanted to make sure that the intent of the council back when the program was adopted was preserved and that the two terms would run synonymously.
Okay, the legislation explains the need to vote on it today that I'm very cognizant of, and I think Mr. Caraway is trying to create a solution. What I did not hear in your answer is a reason for a 47-year term.
If I'll address that. I'll take the credit or blame, however, that's seen as the reason why I asked that we extend the contract for as long as we possibly could, because I believe it's a good program that the city would be well served to have Dallas as a county district be doing this this function. And so I was looking for it to be as long as it could be.
I will be supporting Mr. Caraway's motion. A 47-year term almost ensures that I'll be dead when it expires. And it's simply, there's almost no way for a contract of a 47-year term not to run into unexpected technological changes, political changes, any kind of changes, and it's just kind of it's really one of those deals where I think normal best practice, you look at a 47-year term and think there's something else going on here. It just doesn't look all that terrific. So I'll be supporting Mr. Caraway's motion. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And let me simply say that what is happening currently in Austin, well, first of all, this council, as we are outgoing council members, we run the risk of not knowing where we're going to be on the 27th and what we're going to be doing and how full our agendas are. And this is the council that made the decision to get this deal implemented in the beginning for the safety of the children. And I don't want us to lose focus. One, I believe that all the information, every council member should have the necessary information so that they can feel comfortable. I do not think that we should run the risk at this time not knowing what is happening down in Austin. We have people that are running amok in Austin with all types of bills. To delay it today runs a risk of not having it at all. We talk about education and educating the kids, but we must keep them safe as well. This is a problem that we're dealing with as relate to cameras on the bus. They're on the bus. They're on the side of the bus. People that run past these buses are putting kids and pedestrians at risk. In my district alone, on Dentley Drive, even in Oak Cliff, there, if you would pass by there, you will see a telephone pole with flowers, even where the crossing guard got hit because someone was speeding by. Not just the children that we've seen on national television that are being struck, and someone even in and around our Metroplex just a short while ago, was grazed and almost hit. Number one, I think that we should look at the significance of the program. I think that you all are also looking at a budgetary situation, because to delay it and lose it means that the $1 million that you all are paying from the county for the crossing guard, that $1 million come back to our responsibility here at the city of Dallas out of our budget. Right now, we're not faced with that. And for us to even challenge not knowing what is on the other side of it, is just impossible for me to even consider that we would even begin to put this at risk. It is no secret about the red light cameras. It is no secret that in Austin, should there be a delay, because on the 27th, we don't know. We're subject to have a tornado and not even have a meeting on the 27th. So, I mean, but, you know, we can schedule it, but we're not in control of it. So to put off to what we could be doing today to ensure, Mayor, the safety, as we've talked about, for our kids, to make sure that we're talking about education, and to tamper with one of the elements of education, and that is the kids' safety, to get to the schoolhouse and to be careful and be watched over while they're there. Over the fact that we need to be talked about, I think that what you all should do, Dr. Sorrells, I'll ask you that what I would suggest is that you brief this council and you brief the new council as it goes. But to run the risk of not being able to take care of the business, knowing that we're up against deadlines that are out of this council's control in Austin. It is out of this council's control, because they can do anything in Austin as they and whenever they so choose to do so. And if that should happen, it scraps the program. If that should happen and it scraps the program, it does not just affect Dallas. I think it will be affecting even more school districts in and around our Metroplex, because Dallas County Schools, do you all just do Dallas County Schools? Do you do Duncanville, do you? You do all of these different things. So this has a multiple impact on the decision that this council is making today as relate to our movement with Dallas County Schools and keeping the kids safe. I would ask that you all would brief the council and that we move this forward, that we brief the council so that the council can have their concerns answered. And we can dot the I's and cross the T's. But at the same token, this is something, and the reason it's before us today is because it's a tornado going on right now in Austin as related to this particular issue that we have no control on. We don't know what Mr. Allen's agenda is, and I know the mayor has spoke to him, and that's fine. But it is unfair to crowd that agenda, knowing that the last agenda for the year. And we're trying to put such an impactful decision and briefing onto that agenda, and that's going to even push back some of the other things that they had thought that they would be able to take care of as we close out. We can deal with this today. If indeed, Mayor, I would say that if we need to have more questions, I'm trying to get that word right, because they always beat me up about that word. But if we need some more answers, Then let's put this thing off to this afternoon, and then let's attempt to try to get a briefing to the council or to satisfy these answers. I think it is that imperative for us to be able to do everything that we possibly can to make sure that we today are moving this thing forward. And then at that point, if we can't, then we go to the next move. But it's not going to take a rocket scientist for us to begin to see what it is, get those concerns answered to those that are concerned about it, and then let's see where we should go from there.
Thank you, Ms. Caraway. And Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If this council is trying to get out in front of the legislature, delay is most unwise. Ms. Caraway said there's a tornado going on. Ms. Caraway, the tornado has already struck, destroyed, and continues to wreak havoc in Austin. So if we want to get out in front of the legislature, we need to move today. Things can change in the legislature within hours. Deals are cut based on factors that we have absolutely no knowledge of and no control over. To put this off until the 27th is extremely dangerous if we do not want to lose this program. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Thank you all for sharing your, and I don't think I have support, but it was back in September I asked us to be briefed, and I know Mr. Gonzalez has apologized for not the briefing, but when things aren't briefed, and I've got 11 constituents. Everybody knows if 11 people are willing to write letters, then, and they feel like they cannot contest their tickets in the proper fashion because they're not being notified. I just want to be reassured that our constituents are being treated fairly. And I would like, and I've asked that back in September, and I didn't get the answer. And then now I'm, you know, asked, and I'm not really sure that that process has been put in place. And now I'm asked to pass something for, you know, now it's 20, 25 years. If you don't agree with me, you know, we can vote to move forward. But I'm just giving you my rationale of why I wanted this looked at. And I was, they were, Dallas County Schools was very cooperative. They shared numbers with me on how many tickets. And I think it's representative that we have less people ticketed this year than last year. But I just want to make sure all the residents of Dallas are treated fairly in this fashion. And to know a little more information is usually not a bad thing. So that's why I've asked. And if you don't think if the risk is too high and you'd rather pass it this way, I mean, you obviously I'll lose the vote and we'll move forward. But, you know, and I don't know how we can be reassured today that the adjudication process is going to be is fairly through the system. So thanks. That's why I've asked for the delay.
Thank you. Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to suggest to my esteemed colleague and to all of us that if we need information and it is not briefed, the staff is always willing to come and spend as much time with us as we need. And then we're in a position to spend as much time as we need with colleagues. I know the staff will do that because the staff has spent hours and hours with me on issues where I've said, I need additional information. And they have been willing to sit with me until I have a clear understanding and I'm ready to move forward regardless of what anybody else has asked. So allow me to suggest to my colleagues, respectfully suggest, if you feel you don't have enough information to make a proper decision or to interact with constituents, just have the staff come and sit in your office for hours. They will do that. They're good at that. There's 13,000 of them, and they'll find enough of them to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge. Let me ask a question. We are voting for a renewal of the agreement. Are we voting for a technical process that Ms. Gates does not understand and or is how we're implementing it at the courthouse? Can somebody kind of explain that to me?
The agreement does not affect the adjudication process. That's part of the ordinance that was adopted by council 3-4 years ago.
So I'm not speaking for you, Ms. Gates, but I'm trying to understand, I should ask you, okay? I'll ask you, are your questions around the adjudication process or are they about the contract with the Dallas County Schools in general?
They're a little bit of both. I mean, one, it's the contract that allows the tickets to be written. If the tickets are not written, then there's nothing to adjudicate.
Which is the big one.
So that's a big one. But the tickets are being, so this allows that to take place, right? Then we, as a city, have this adjudication process that I don't, you know, but it's the way that they're informed that is because of this interlocal agreement. They're giving the authorization for that ticket to be mailed, and it's the 11, and I shared the cases, and I've been, this was on Monday. I mean, this was an addendum item on Friday night we received.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, and on Monday we got the memo in public safety, and I sat down with Mr. Campbell, and I sat down and with Dallas County Schools, and they're willing to look at how that fell through the crack. But that is all only because it's an addendum item. And now that everybody's willing to take a look at, hey, maybe, you know, we might have a problem here. But I've been forwarding all these complaints on during this process.
No, I understand.
And I still have received, most of them received last summer. I will say that. That's why I asked for it in September. But I did receive most recently a few more of these similar type complaints.
I understand now. I'm very disappointed that we are bringing something to the council without a briefing. That's just not the way we should do business, okay? We all know that in our committees, and that's problematic. I also believe that the warning of that tornado is a serious one, and it's one we have to. And so, Mr. Gonzalez, I don't know how we're going to rectify that in the future, but we shouldn't be bringing things like this. What I'm going to do is, I'm just not what everybody needs to do, but I'm going to vote to move this ahead. I'm going to ask Mr. Allen to brief it on Monday. And if my questions are not answered appropriately, then I will vote for a reconsideration in 2 weeks, okay, because I will be on the prevailing side, and we can reconsider this if we need to. But I know the briefing will come after the vote, but we also have another week before it's finalized, because people can change their vote. That way we move it ahead, so we don't make sure that we get caught up into a conflict, like Mr. Carraway said, from a timing standpoint. And hopefully your questions will be asked. And if we need to go back to the ordinance, are we free to do that? We've got the contract, but we can kind of change the way we enforce this, right?
The council always has the ability to amend the ordinance.
Okay. All right, so...
Mark, can I ask one question to
you? Just did you want to clarify that answer?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Oh, I thought you were clarifying something. Okay, go ahead. So that's the way I'm going to... Mr. Athens.
Mayor, when you appoint your chairs, committee chairs, if anything want to be briefed, is up to the committee chair to put that on their briefing?
It is, and we need to...
Well, I just... Ms. Case... what Mayor just said, you know, when he appointed the chairs of any committee chair can put that to be briefing. So you could have went to any committee chair and asked it to be briefed. So I'm just going to make sure point of deal.
She
could have economic development. I mean, I'm just saying that I did not, I was glad to put it on there. I'm just trying to make sure that we understand the protocol and the governance there, that we can go to any committee chair to get anything briefed that you want to get briefed on.
Okay.
I'm trying to make sure everyone understands that.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you. Just a point of clarification from our attorneys. If we vote and approve a contract today, can we reconsider it 2 weeks from now after approving the contract?
I'll delay execution.
Okay, so just to make clear, so this is also an approval with a delayed execution?
That's fine.
That would be the only way to reconsider.
Is that part of the motion, the delayed execution?
And then we do not have to, we don't have to take another vote if we did that.
If there's no motion.
And right now, procedurally, the motion on the table is...
I got that. I know where we are.
But once we get to... I think it was Mr. Carraway's.
We'll look at for amendment there. Okay.
Just one other point. Just to clarify, the memo was turned in multiple times. It was signed by 3 committee members. Under the charter, something has to be briefed by city staff when 3 members of a committee sign a memo and turn it in. It was turned in multiple times. This one, I've never seen so much reluctance on any other issue to have it briefed. There's an executed memo by Medrano, Gates, and myself turned into public safety and then submitted again, and then there was resistance to the briefing. So the procedure was followed.
Thank you, Ms. Griggs. Ms. Gates and then Ms. Carraway.
Mayor, I just want to give one point of clarification, and I can understand that position, but the delay of the execution of it is my concern. So let me get that. According to my understanding, or the understanding that Austin has,
Mr. Carraway, can we hold that? Let's take Ms. Gates' vote, and then we'll get into your question.
But I want to make sure that we all understand that the delay of the execution, this, from my understanding, has to be executed, and so legally, if it has to be executed by a
June 1st.
It has to be executed by June 1st.
Right.
I just want to make that point.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Good. Okay. So, Mr. Cadane.
Mr. Mayor,
I received that memo, had three items on it. We did brief two of the items. At one point in time during this, I believe we lost a day, a meeting, and I'm not for sure, but I think it could have been on that meeting, and we had all of our meetings planned, so I think it got it moved in the shift, but it wasn't not meant to be briefed, because we did brief the other two. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cadane. Ms. Medrano.
No, I think it was the same thing. There were several things that got pushed back. I know that I had, well, kind of forced the feeding and panhandling issues that I thought were very important to be moved up, so I think it got just shuffled back a little bit.
All right, thank you. So we will entertain now the motion, the second, to brief on Monday and vote defer this item till the 27th of Ms. Gates. And why don't we go ahead and take record vote? If you're voting for it, you're voting for a deferment.
Mr. Caraway's?
No, we got to deal with this motion first. Okay.
Okay, all have voted. Voting in favor, Councilmember Gates. Voting against, Councilmember Medrano. Caraway.
Mr. Callahan did not vote.
Right. Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Councilmembers Kingston, Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Councilmember Hill. Councilmember Davis, Councilmember Allen are absent.
No, they're right here. So just verbally, how do you vote?
Councilmember Davis is voting for. Councilmember Allen is absent on personal business, and Councilmember Kleinman is absent on city business, pending city council approval.
Right, let's do this once again. We've got two council members around the horseshoe that did not place a vote, so I will ask, how do you vote, Ms. Davis? Mr. Callahan, no. Okay. So thank you.
The motion fails, Mr. Mayor.
All right. We will now entertain the motion of Mr. Caraway's to authorize this with an amendment for 25 years. Mr. Griggs, did you want to say something at this point or not?
Just a clarification. Does this amendment include the delay?
Not at this point.
No.
Then I would make an amendment to that motion with the delay.
Is that a friendly? Do you take that?
Delayed execution. Like we
is a friendly amendment?
No.
It would be before June 1st.
It would be before June 1st?
Yes.
I don't know about that. I got to take a minute. All right, y'all get this done. Would it be, you're saying we want to brief it?
Two things in the motion.
Okay.
Your motion plus delayed execution, but before June 1st, and number two, briefing to budget, finance, and audit on Monday.
So would we automatically at the committee meeting make the decision at that meeting, but that committee would be making that decision?
We would all be we could all see it and or understand it. Okay.
I don't think I want to take that because the committee would be making that decision.
No, not necessarily. The only way you stop the execution of the contract is if on the 27th there would be a motion to reconsider and that would pass. Okay? That would be the only way. It would just hold up the execution till the 27th.
Can I make one?
Please.
A small suggestion that if the motion to reconsider isn't posted the Friday before the 27th,
that's great.
That I'm set to go with executing it.
That's great.
Okay. All right.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Chef.
Yeah.
Chef. What do you think?
Mate?
Yeah.
No, I'm voting on your original amendment.
So you can see it.
Well, speak to Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Does delaying execution have the effect that Mr. Mayor thinks it has, which is no effect?
The only way to reconsider an item is if the item...
I'm not talking about reconsideration. Okay. I'm talking about moving forward today, but okay. saying delay execution.
Let me be very clear about this. This contract will be executed on the 22nd, mm-hmm. okay? On the 22nd, unless an item is posted to reconsider on the 27th.
Does execution by the 22nd get us out in front of the legislative action conclusively?
Well,
or does it not get us out in front of the legislative action until the 22nd?
It doesn't get you out of the legislative action until the 22nd.
Until the 22nd. That's what I thought it meant. And so delaying execution delays the action.
Right. All right. So there's a question I've got to ask. Mm-hmm. I thought you said the legislative work that's being done will be postdated to June 1st.
It is.
Not before.
It is as of today.
As of today.
I think their concern is that date might.
And that's my point, Mr. Mayor. It's as of this moment. But as of 11 o'clock, that could be different in Austin.
I got it.
That's right. Okay. So
okay.
we won't accept the motion.
Okay.
I just clarify the motion. It's what the mayor said about the delayed execution plus a briefing on Monday to budget, finance, and audit. So then whoever wants to attend can attend the briefing, and then if you're on the prevailing side, ask for reconsideration.
That's right. Okay. So he pulls back that.
Well, I understand that, but in the committee meeting, those of us that are visiting cannot necessarily vote.
Right.
Okay. So that's my point. Yeah. So if you can't vote.
But anybody can reconsider within 2 weeks if you're on the prevailing side.
I believe in what Ms. Hill has stated, and I just have to start apologizing to everybody because I'm on the fact that we need to move because we cannot control what's happening in Austin. And Austin today could change their date and move their date up. And what we need to do is be specific about where we're going. You still maintain the power to reconsider.
Correct.
Automatically, without correct. The fact of the execution.
Correct.
All right. So we won't do
all right.
that.
So I just want to be clear, Mr. Griggs, okay, while we've got the motion, that he did not accept the motion to defer the execution. Okay? Good. Just, all right. Mr. Fairway, you want to turn your light off? Ms. Grayson, want to speak? Now we've got clean.
It just seems to me that if we're concerned enough to move forward with the vote on this, we should also be moving forward with the execution. So that's what I'm going to be supporting is that we move forward with this vote and the execution of the contract.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The language that is being proposed as an amendment to the attempt to remove stop arm cameras is currently set to grandfather in anything in existence as of June 1, or is the June 1 date the expiration of our current contract?
I missed a little bit of that. The current contract expires middle of June.
The June 1 date comes from
the
proposed
legislation. The bill that's being considered.
Why do we think that we will not be grandfathered if we extend the contract that remains in existence through June 15th?
The issue that we will have to argue at that point is whether an extension to that date
mm-hmm.
falls under the grandfather.
Are we able to, supposing, because what my colleagues are concerned about is that today, this afternoon, some respected colleague in the legislature proposes some language that would that would move back the grandfathering date, or God forbid, get rid of it. But moving back is really what we're talking about. If we vote to approve today with an effective date, May 13th, is a subsequent execution, does that put our contract in danger?
I have actually inserted the effective date, May 13th.
Good move. Do you know the answer to the outcome of that? Because here's how it's going to get tested. We'll write a ticket and someone will sue us.
Right.
So that's really the question.
I don't know what the answer will be.
Okay, that's a fine answer. That's all my colleagues want to know. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Davis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. AC, why did you decide not to take it to a committee?
We had the request of three items to the Public Safety Committee. We were able to schedule two of them. The third one, for a variety of different reasons, just did not get on that committee agenda. As it was getting later in time, and we then realized that we needed to see about taking the actions that are being proposed today. We put it on the agenda of the Public Safety Committee as a memo to give information. Now, there was really not any other issue other than pressure of time and the other agenda items that was keeping this one off.
Did you come and brief those council members who were not a part of the Public Safety Committee?
There was some conversations at different times with regards to questions that were brought up at different times since last fall to the present, but we did not have a particular briefing in that Public Safety Committee.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve item addendum number 2 with the amendment of
No amendment.
The only motion to be voted on first.
No, he didn't get a second. He pulled that back. Yeah. Just please. I know. I do. Okay. Let's do this again. We have a motion and a second to approve item number 2 with the amendment of the 25 years in the contract from 47 years. And I was going to call the question, but Ms. Gates wants to say something. Ms. Gates. You don't want to say
so. So the amendment we have, then it will not be briefed.
No, we don't have to vote on that. I'm saying we're going to brief it.
Okay, but there's no extension of the contract.
Deferring the
right.
Execution, not at this time. I'm sorry.
I could be supportive of it if we had that, but if we don't, I'm not very supportive.
Hold on here. I was asking for that being a friendly amendment, and he didn't accept it, so I assumed you wanted to pull off. But if you want to amend that, and we'll entertain a second.
Yeah, then if it's not accepted, then it certainly can be a standalone motion
right,
to go ahead with essentially what Councilmember Carraway said, plus the delayed execution, as we talked about in detail for 10 minutes, and then additionally a briefing to Budget, Finance, and Audit on Monday. Is there a second? Got a second.
We've got a motion and a second for that. And so, Ms. Davis.
Mr. Mayor, since we're on this item, and if we can talk, someone can come and talk to me before I approve it. I have some community people in the Truett Elementary area that need crossing guards where there's no, and I've given this to someone and no one has gotten back with me from Ellen. Okay, because
so
these
Mr. Sorrell.
Okay, so yeah,
okay.
And so let me do this before I'm gonna step back on my approval.
Okay, all right. So we will now entertain the motion as spoken by Mr. Griggs. Let's. Okay, so the motion is item number two, 25 years, defer execution and brief. Till what date? What was your date? Defer execution of what? Till what date?
Recommendation.
My suggestion would be the Friday before the 27th.
Friday before the 27th.
It's not posted.
Was that the
22nd, I believe. 22nd.
Yeah.
22nd at the close of business.
Okay. And then we're going to brief budget finance on this. Okay? Does everybody understand that? Okay. So let's do a vote.
Please cast your vote. All have voted. Voting in favor, Council Members Gates, Kingston, Callahan, and Griggs. Voting against, Council Members Medrano, Carraway, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Members Grayson, Cadane, Hill, and Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. The motion fails, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Now we will entertain the motion to approve item number two with only one amendment, that is a 25-year contract, and we will be still briefing the budget, finance, and audit.
Okay?
So clean the slate and let's...
Please cast your vote. All have voted. Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, Carraway, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Members Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Hill, and Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Council Member Davis is absent when vote taken.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll hit, how do you need to hit your vote? Okay. So you can say to the audience, what's your vote? Yes.
And Council Member Allen is absent on personal business. Council Member Kleiman is absent on pending absence on city business. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
We move now to agenda item number 22, consideration of appointments to boards and commissions for full council appointments. You have two nominees nominated by Council Member Medrano, Michael Barrett and Zayad Andrew Ramaya to the Reinvestment Zone 17 Board TOD, and they both meet the Dallas County resident qualification.
Thank you. I'll
move approval.
We got motions.
Move for approval.
Second. Any discussion? Ms. Medrano.
Nope.
Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We have several eminent domain agenda items. Therefore, I'm going to go ahead and read agenda items 23 through 25 and addendum items number 9 through 12.
Agenda. Does anybody want to take any of those separately? Hearing none, we'll read them all together.
Agenda item number 23 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain, if necessary, to acquire from Andrew Birmingham a subsurface easement under approximately 2,134 square feet of land located on Xenia Drive near its intersection with North Central Expressway and City of Dallas Block 2, 594, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A, of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Mill Creek's Peaks Branch St. Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project. Agenda item number 24 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Eretz Dallas Properties, LLC, a subsurface easement under approximately 9,019 square feet of land located on Haskell Avenue near its intersection with Live Oak Street and City of Dallas Block 10, 740, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Mill Creek Peaks Branch St. Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project. Agenda item 25 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from MI Gas and Partners Limited, NMSC 1 Limited, a subsurface easement under approximately 10,702 square feet of land located on Gaston Avenue near its intersection with Peak Street, in City of Dallas, Block 7, 767, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Mill Creek Peaks Branch St. Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project. Addendum item number 9 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Kayla M. Heath and Christopher A. Geno a subsurface easement under approximately 182 square feet of land located on Xenia Drive in its intersection with North Central Expressway in City of Dallas Block 2594, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Mill Creek Peaks Branch St. Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project. Addendum item number 10 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Michael James Hudson and Robert Hudson a subsurface easement under approximately 634 square feet of land located on Xenia Drive at its intersection with North Central Expressway in City of Dallas, Block 2594, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Mill Creek Peaks Branch St. Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project. Addendum item 11 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Rosedale Apartments, LLC, a subsurface easement under approximately 4,944 square feet of land located on Ross Avenue at its intersection with Hall Street and City of Dallas, Block 596, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Mill Creek Peaks Branch St. Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project. Addendum item number 12 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Stuart Crowe a subsurface easement under approximately 3,140 square feet of land located on Flora Street near its intersection with North Central Expressway in City of Dallas, Block 595, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Mill Creek Peaks Branch St. Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move approval.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Mr. Kingston.
Do we need two?
Oh, we need two. We need two. Thank you.
I just wanted to ask Mr. Gonzalez, when's the last time we've done an update to the council on the progress on Mill Creek?
We have to have staff.
But my request is simple. If we've done one within the last 6 months, just get it to me. If not, I'd like to have that. I think my colleagues would like it also, so maybe a memo briefing, or if you want to bring it to if Judge Hill has room for it on her calendar, whatever works for y'all.
Yeah.
Well,
we had a previous conversations about briefings and getting them on. We are trying to do our best to get these briefings on, but if you did say that a memo briefing would be another alternative.
It's fine for me.
Okay.
So just whatever my colleagues want. I know it's a complicated project,
right?
But I'm starting to get asked about the progress on it.
Okay. Well, we will, one, try to see about getting it on. I think that's going to be hard to do.
Okay.
We will, at the minimum, have a memo out to all the council.
Yes, sir.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Record vote. Record vote.
Oh, excuse me.
Please cast your vote now.
All right. Anybody standing around?
Record vote. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. Okay, we have another council member coming forward. All have voted. Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, Caraway, Gates, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonso, Council Members Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Hill, and Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Council Member Davis is absent when vote taken. Councilmember Allen is absent on personal business, and Councilmember Kleiman is absent pending city business. Motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
Agenda items number 26 through 28 need to be considered collectively. Agenda item number 26 is authorize a resolution designating approximately 127 acres of property located south of Altamore Road, north of Telephone Road, west of Van Horn Drive, and east of the Lancaster city limit in Dallas, Texas, a City of Dallas neighborhood empowerment zone number 2, to promote an increase in economic development in the zone, establishing the boundaries of the neighborhood empowerment zone, and providing for an effective date. Agenda item 27 is authorize a real property tax abatement agreement with Dow Park Interstate 20 or I-20 Logistics LLC, located on approximately 44 acres south of Altamore Road, north of Balmoria Drive, west of Van Horn Drive, and east of the Lancaster city limit in Dallas, Texas, for a speculative industrial warehouse facility of at least 900,000 square feet. Agenda item number 28 is authorized a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement in an amount not to exceed $312,000 with Dow Park I-20 Logistics LLC related to the construction of a speculative industrial warehouse facility of at least 900,000 square feet. As well, the following statement applies to agenda items number 26 through 28. By making and seconding the motions, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, the item requires 2 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
A motion approved. Mayor, you know, is Hammond Perot come forward, please? Mayor, I would like to say, you know, the Inland Port is back on fire. I mean, that's a part of your growth south initiative. Today, we have roughly about 8 million square foot space been built in Inland Port in the last 5 years, and probably about 5 million square foot have been leased out. Everybody will probably know that we are working on a good deal. It's already been out with Amazon moving into the Inland Port, and we are trying to get that done before June 10th, before I leave. We did have a heat cup on this project with Ridge Property, was a bounding line, city limit line, which where the boundaries was going to be. It's part of going to be in Dallas, or part of going to be in Lancaster. I want to thank Mayor Knight and his staff, and also the city, the Dallas their attorneys and Lancaster attorneys working together to make sure this bounding adjustment was correctly. There is a 900,000 square foot building is going to be built on that piece of property, and that 900,000 square foot more space is going to be there, but it also is going to be a great job provider. But one thing, Mayor, we definitely need is circulators. We need to talk to Dart and Ms. Hill. We're going to have that little meeting, that special call meeting. There is a major problem trying to get people to those facilities, like L'Oreal, to get to their job. They can't get there. There's no transportation. They walk in a half a mile just to get to work. And in that neighborhood, we need to make sure we got a circulator going over there so to make sure they go to work. Anything you want to say, Hamlin?
No, sir.
Huh?
Thank you for your consideration of this. This is a culmination of a number of years of work, and we've got a new developer that's come to the table, and we're excited with the opportunity.
Right, and one thing good, Mayor, this developer came here, bought the property, started building outright. So that's great. And I just thank economic development. And Ms. Hill, you want to say something?
Judge Hill.
You didn't ask the mayor if you could speak directly to me.
That's fine.
Okay. And I won't talk to you.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, am I recognized?
Thank you,
Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor and Council, I want to commend highly Councilmember Atkins for the work he has done on the Inland Port. Each of us who has come here in my class, the class of 07, had certain things we wanted to accomplish, and one of the things that Mr. Atkins wanted to accomplish was enhancing and enriching the Inland Port. That included our trip to Panama to see how that worked. He and Ms. Coop and I and Ryan Evans and Carl Zavikowski were on that trip, and that was good for us. But I cannot tell you, colleagues, how hard he has worked, how much this meant to him. And, Mr. Atkins, I'm glad to see that you have accomplished what you set out to accomplish. I know you didn't do everything that you wanted to do, but, Mr. Atkins, you have done all that you could in the time that you had, and you have done that well. Thank you for bringing all of the development that you have brought to the Inland Port. And, Mr. Mayor, thank you for your help with that. Mr. Mayor went out there when he was thinking about running for mayor the first time, looked at it and said, this looks like a possibility, and has done an awful lot of heavy lifting. So both of you, I publicly thank you, because this is huge for Southern Dallas. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Judge Hill. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Congratulations, Mr. Atkins.
We move now to agenda item number 29, authorize a conditional grant agreement with Greenleaf Ventures, LLC, to pay for a portion of the infrastructure construction costs for a single-family development for 50 to 53 homes in East Dallas located on Chariot Drive.
Thank you. Ms. Davis.
Move to approve.
Second. A motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 30 is authorize a conditional grant agreement with Greenleaf Ventures, LLC, to pay for a portion of the infrastructure construction costs for a single-family development for 116 homes in West Dallas located on Singleton Boulevard.
Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move for approval. I want to make a comment afterwards.
Second. And a motion second.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and allowing me to speak. And I wanted to just share with you, Mr. Mayor, this is the beginning of upcoming work that we have in not only in the city, but particularly in West Dallas. Mr. Mayor, you talked about wanting to bring more single homes to the city, and this is a an introduction to that. And I'm pleased to be able to say that we are starting here and look forward to being able to bring more. But this is the beginning and the first step that we'll be taking.
That's great. 116, I read. It's fabulous. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 7 is execute the casting of lots to identify the recommended vendor resulting from tie bids on lines 54 and 55 for bid BM 1422 for a three-year master agreement for the purchase of pumps and parts, Austin Pump and Supply Company, and Master Pumps and Equipment. There's two sealed envelopes, Mr. Mayor, for line 54, if you would please select one, and that line will be awarded to that vendor.
Go ahead. You want me to read it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The winner is Austin Pump and Supply Company, line 54.
The next is line 55.
Austin Pump and Supply Company, line 55.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We need a motion now, please.
So moved.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to addendum item number 8. These are absence exceptions. This item has been broken down into two groups to ensure we maintain a quorum. The first group, we're going to, these following individuals have a conflict and will be removing themselves from the chamber. Michael Mayor Rawlings, Council Members Griggs, Medrano, and, of course, Kleiman is absent on city business. So would those individuals please remove yourselves from the meeting?
Wait, I want to say something about this before they go. I just want them to hear this. I have a comment about this. The 50% rule, I think that rule at some point needs to be reconsidered. I thought it was a dumb rule when we passed it. I think it's a dumb rule now, and I think at some point it needs to be reconsidered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Secretary, if Ms. Grayson is in that also?
We're separating into two groups.
She's okay.
In her second group.
Okay, Ms. Grayson.
I'm going to read the item, but there is an amendment that I also need to classify. There's a, the first part of addendum item number 8 is a resolution designating absences by Mayor Michael Rawlings, Councilmember Scott Graves, Councilmember Adam Medrano, Councilmember Lynn Kleiman for being for official city business. We do need to incorporate Councilmember Kleiman's absence today as he is in Austin at a legislative meeting.
Oh, yes.
Motion for amendment?
Yes. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Ayes carried. You can tell Mayor Mike Rollins and those people can come back in.
Everybody may return to the chamber. Make sure they're here before we consider the second portion. For the next portion, Council Members Davis, Grayson, and Kingston have a conflict, and they will be removing themselves from the chamber. The second portion of addendum item number 8 is a resolution designating absences by Council Member Carolyn Davis, Council Members Sandy Grayson, and Council Member Philip Kingston as being for official city business.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your morning items.
Okay. Yes, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I don't know if you saw these wonderful students that just came in. They are several students from Townview, and I want to recognize Mr. Perez, who is here with them. Mr. Perez, will you raise your hand? Thank you very much for everything that you do for your students. I wanted to share something because I don't know if you all read, but Townview is one of the best schools in the nation. I don't know if you all read that.
I did.
But aside from saying hello to Mr. Perez, I wanted to share with you, Mr. Mayor, that before I became a council member, I was working in the community, and I continue to work in the community. But while I was working in the community, I worked for over 16 years with Mr. Perez in trying to help him to place these young students and be able to get that experience in the workplace. So it has been my pleasure to not only be a friend of Townview Schools, but the children and the students that are learning and getting firsthand experience of what society is about as far as them going into the workforce. So I wanted to recognize Mr. Perez and also students. This is your city hall. You're welcome, and I'm glad that you're here. But always remember, read every night, and don't forget to continue to study and be able to be going into the colleges and universities. But I only ask that when you finish, because I know you're going to finish, you come back to the community and give to that community that gave to you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And I want to thank Ms. I want to thank Deputy Mayor Alonzo for her recognition to Townview, the school that is in my district. How about that? All right. So I just want to make sure that folks know that I do have one of the most and the best recognized school in the United States of America. And Mr. Bettis and Ms. Williams, you all, we appreciate all that you've done and will continue to do. But most importantly, Mayor, at Townview, and they're here to witness their teacher that's here. And their teacher that's here at Townview is Miss Carolyn Arnold, our councilwoman elect. Stand up, Carolyn, so all your students will know. She teaches there now. All right. So now she's going to be here at Dallas City Hall, sitting around this horseshoe. But let that be an example of just how high you can go, and just how high and how much you can achieve if you just stay focused. So you all are in good hands. I appreciate you. You're the very best, and you continue to excel and do the things that Deputy Mayor Alonzo suggests that you do, and that's about reading, okay? So thank you all. Thank you, Mayor, and thank Townview.
Thank you. Thank you, students, for being here. We are, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that a former employee of mine, Brianna Avila, is a graduate of Townview, and she thought it was a great place. She's a constituent and also a neighbor of mine, so I just want to throw a shout-out to her.
Thank you. We are now going to go into executive session. We have a hearty executive session here. I'm going to tell everybody that that's important. We will probably not get through the executive session this morning because we'll need to break at 11:30 to prepare for the police recognition memorial service. And so I'm going to if anybody's listening, we will not come back here till 1:15 at least. So we'll see how fast the sessions go. So I'd ask you to all be in behind this room in 10 minutes. So we'll start at 11 o'clock, our executive session, and I will read those items now. It is 10:49 a.m., May 13, 2015. The City Council will go into closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the city attorney on the following matters: George Earl Pogue v. City of Dallas et al., legal issues regarding Chapter 9C, carry-out bags of the Dallas City Code, and Helix Poly Cop Co. et al. V. City of Dallas, Joe Wesson v. City of Dallas, Texas, and Jesus Martinez. And we will see you back this afternoon. Okay, good. Ms. Alonzo says we've got a quorum, so we will move ahead. Say that it is 12:10 p.m. May 13, 2015. The City Council will now go back into open session. We met under closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. We received advice and consulted with the city attorney on George L. Pogue v. City of Dallas et al., legal issues regarding Chapter 9C, carry-out bags of the Dallas City Code, and Helix Poly Co. et al. V. City of Dallas, Texas, Joe Wesson v. City of Dallas, Texas, and Jesus Martinez. I said it's 12:10. It is 2:10. Excuse me. I think I was just wishing. All right. Thank you. And we will proceed with the public hearings and related actions for the afternoon. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councilmember Kleinman would like to be recognized regarding agenda item number 32.
Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you. I move to defer this item until May 27, 2015.
Second.
The motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo would like to be recognized regarding agenda item number 35.
Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to defer item number 35 to the May 27, 2015 council meeting.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now to your consent agenda. Your zoning consent agenda consisted of agenda items 31 through 36. Two items were just deferred. Therefore, I will read into the record what remains: agenda item number 31, 33, 34, and 36. Agenda item number 31 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1907 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store greater than 3,500 square feet on property with a D1 liquor control overlay on the southeast corner of Samuel Boulevard and North Jim Miller Road. Agenda item number 33 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to a planned development district number 556 along the east line of North Central Expressway between Lee Street and Norman Street. Agenda item number 34 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1696 for an alcoholic beverage establishment limited to a bar, lounge, or tavern on property on the south side of Elm Street, east of North Crowder Street. Agenda item number 36 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 954 for a private school and to add a child care facility on property on the north line of Military Parkway east of South Buckner Boulevard. Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers? We have an individual coming forward. You are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please identify the item that you are speaking in opposition to, and it will be important that you stay to topic, please.
Items number 31 and 34 are similar to items I have spoken against previously regarding the either increased permission or continued permission to sell a known toxin and carcinogen as a consumable food item in regards to alcohol. I understand that this is a widely available liquid product throughout the city, and we do not need to continue to extend specific use permits specifically just for this poison, as it shall be properly known, since it does not provide nutritional value to those consuming it. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in opposition? For the record, that was Daniel Caldwell. Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mm-hmm. Agenda item number 37 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a community service center on property on the southeast corner of Sutherland Avenue and Bonnie View Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 17 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received 2 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Carraway.
Mayor, I'm going to move to approve. Neva, if you could come back up one second.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you.
Just tell me exactly what activities are going to take place at this facility.
Sure. It is going to be a community service center. So it's going to be activities for... there's a gymnasium there, so there'll be after-school activities and other activities just for kids to come and hang out. And the representative's here. He might be able to express more.
If they come down just for a quick second, just let me make sure.
Hello, Ms. Carraway.
How you doing?
I'm great.
What type of activities will take place here over the weekends?
On the weekends, we offer Dallas Police Athletic Programs, and we also partner with Steve Harvey's Momentoring Camp, and we offer follow-up programs for the kids that live here in the city of Dallas.
All right, will we be renting out the facility for parties or anything of that nature?
The only time we have rented out the facility is if it's a group that wants to do like a private party for if it's 50 or older.
Okay, because what I'm concerned about, and I'm in favor of this, I want you to know.
Yes, sir.
But I want to make sure that we have some controls in place, mm-hmm. where there, as relate to loud music and things that will be impacting the community and the neighborhood immediately around it, especially, you know, after 11 o'clock at night. There have been before at that facility, mm-hmm. where the loud music is going with parties and stuff of that nature. And it's been banging the neighborhood, and it's a retired, elderly neighborhood, mm-hmm. and I just want to have those guarantees in place.
Well, we have added additional security, and they are now monitoring all of that. So when individuals come on the property, we immediately ask them to turn their music down. We don't have any music on the outside. Everything is restricted on the inside.
Okay, but these people are on the inside. You know, they got them boom boxes.
Yeah, we actually have not had any of that recently.
Well, we don't want it at all.
Yeah. No, if they're playing anything, it's inside and it is within the confines where you can't even hear it outside.
So if I'm passing this, we're going to be, the neighborhood is going to be guaranteed that there's not going to be a disturbance of loud music and hanging out and that kind of stuff. It's a very good facility, so mm-hmm. I'm not knocking it down.
Yes, sir.
But I would not be doing my duty if I did not make sure, mm-hmm. on behalf of the community there, that the music and the traffic and hanging out is that the programs are great. Mm-hmm. So I'm with that. I just want to be on record.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
So when we come back with this, how many years are we talking, Neva?
Plan Commission recommended 10 with automatic renewal of 10-year period. And there are time period. There's a hours of operation for the community service center.
What's the hours of operation?
It is Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Okay, that's fine. So. Thank you and good luck, okay?
Thank you.
Council, I'm asking for approval.
Thank you. We already had a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 38 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store greater than 3,500 square feet on property along the east line of Kleberg Road, the north line of Carletta Street, and the south line of Park Cliff Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 22 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and two in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition? Again, you have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Daniel Caldwell, 11029 Shady Trail, number 126. That is City Council District 6. I understand that most people are unable to make a personal appearance at City Council meetings due to transportation and the like. However, as the City Council has heard others speak against extending additional alcohol sale permits within the city, I would like to remind the City Council that there are several citizens and a respectful proportion who would oppose the unanimous passage of additional permits to do so. Again, for the reasons previously articulated at this and other meetings, since we're talking about a substance which is known to have a strong correlation to crime and motor vehicle accidents and delinquency of youth, I ask that the City Council at least not unanimously approve it as it has done on most of its other approvals, rather than unanimously approving something that a significant chunk of the population does not widely accept. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in opposition? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins.
Yes, first, Mayor. I approve. I move this agenda to go forward.
Do we have a second? Thank you.
I move to close the public hearing and approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Planning Commission.
Thank you. Do we have any discussion? I thought you wanted to say something. No, okay. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement applies to agenda items number 39 and 40. By making and seconding the motions the council members represent, they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, these two items would require 2 seconds. Agenda item number 39 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development sub-district for O2 office sub-district uses and MF2 multiple family sub-district uses on property on the west corner of North Central Expressway and Oliver Street and the southeast line of McKinney Avenue south of Oliver Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 285 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 27 replies in favor and 2 in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? You are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. Address your comments to Mayor Rawlings, as well as please stay within your time. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Charles West. My address is 4312 McKinney Avenue, number 17. I own a condominium directly across the alley from the proposed project. I'm here today to voice my support for this project. I moved to this neighborhood because I wanted an urban lifestyle with interesting places to walk to and eat in and shop at. I have that. In order to maintain that, more people need to move to this area to ensure the businesses I frequent remain viable. This project supports that residential growth as well as growth of the tax base in our neighborhood and district. Councilmember Kingston's district. I think the only other thing I would add is It's my understanding that the developer has need to put a temporary trailer on the residential lot that faces McKinney, which would be directly north of my property. And I don't have any opposition to that request. I think it's a good use of the land that they intend to purchase. And we would not be opposed to that if you would grant that. In addition to being a homeowner, I'm also the president of the HOA board. This developer has met with our homeowners several times, and we feel like they have taken into consideration our concerns, and they have come up with some very workable solutions that make the project beneficial for them as well as us. And we feel like we're off to a good start, and I'd like to see this project go forward with your vote. Thank you.
My name is David Penichetti. My address is 4330 McKinney Avenue, number 13. We are to also with Charles. I'm the condo board president also of my development, and we are in favor of this development. They have been in touch with us on multiple occasions, showing us renderings, walking us through the construction, what it would look like, renderings, and also allowing us access as a bordering property to this park, which we are in favor of because of it will bring green space to our area, which we have not had. So again, Brighton Lofts North is in favor of this development. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Dallas Cothram, 900 Jackson Street, representing Southern Land. I've got a site plan, if they could call it up, but it's an interesting case in that, you have like anything in that area, lots of homeowners. We had numerous meetings. The parking lot they mentioned, and you look on the zoning map, there's a lot that is non-conforming that is used by one of the office buildings on Central, and it divides these two guys, their respective townhome associations. We're going to turn that into a park. We're also in this, we're agreeing on our side of Oliver at the neighbor's request to have no parking, and we've treated the alley like it is a street. So we think we've been very respectful here. We've, you know, met all the concerns in terms of screening the garage, you know, and I think you can see we've had really almost no support. We've lowered the height. We're allowed 240 feet by right. We're building a 200-foot building instead. So happy to answer any questions that you have. It's a good example of the neighborhood spent time on it, and we were able to, I think, address what their issues were. With office zoning, I think they're pleased that we're only residential and we're lowering the number of trips that they would have expected. They did not want an office building. They wanted a residential building by them. So we'd appreciate your support and follow the unanimous recommendation of the Planning Commission. Thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Kingston.
Move approval.
Second.
2 seconds.
A motion and a second. Discussion?
2 seconds, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, we need one more second. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you have, okay. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 40 has been corrected on the addendum. It's a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MU3 mixed-use district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the northeast corner of East Northwest Highway and North Central Expressway.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 23 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms.
Gates. I'm sorry, we have someone coming forward?
I don't need to.
No further speakers?
Okay.
No speakers.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and move to approve the corrected item. In the addendum. Thank you. Sorry, I got a little tongue-tied.
Got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 41 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the creation of a new subdistrict in the downtown special provision sign district overlay on property in an area generally bounded by Pacific Avenue, North Eckerd Street, Elm Street, and Northfield Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 94 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and none in opposition.
We do have seven individuals registered to speak. They will be called first, after which it will be open to the rest remaining public. The speakers are Tommy Mann, Bill McKnight, Steve Shepard, Jack Gosnell, Amy Sanborn, Jim DePetris, and John Crawford. Tommy Mann.
Tommy Mann, 500 Winstead Building, representing the applicant in this request. This is a project with which you're all familiar, having already partnered with my client through a TIF agreement for the redevelopment of the now vacant skyscraper at 1401 Elm. I would say that there's probably not another signage request like this that has come before you, but I would also say I'm not sure there's another project quite like this that has happened in downtown. And this signage and the ability to transform this building from an office building into over 400 apartments and over maybe 100,000 square feet of retail is an enormous undertaking, and this signage is critical to that effort. I would just stress that this has been a very collaborative process for us to get here to this point. You'll hear from several others, homeowners in the area, other stakeholders, and we are in agreement with the recommendation of the Plan Commission, and we'll be happy to answer any specific questions about it. Thanks.
Next speaker, Bill McKnight. Mr. McKnight will be followed by Steve Shepard, Jack Gosnell, Amy Sanborn.
My name is Bill McKnight, and as a resident of and being the HOA president, I speak for the residents of 1505 Elm Street, which is the condominium building that is directly across the street from 1401 Elm. Our building is directly across the street, as I said. I am here in favor of the signage for this building. We feel that this signage will give the retailers the desire to come back downtown, which is something that is needed to make our downtown more vibrant, desirable, and marketable. We love the bar life and restaurants, but we need a grocery store, clothing stores, and other everyday stores. Without signage, that is not going to happen because these people, nobody will know that the stores are there. With all the new hotels that are in process of coming downtown, we need retail to keep the guests of these hotels downtown and to spend money downtown. So, as I said, our building is in favor of this 100%. Thank you.
Next speaker, Steve Shepard.
My name is Steve Shepard. I'm a downtown resident and have been a homeowner at 1505 Elm Street condominiums for the last 10 years directly across from 1401 Elm at the corner of Elm and Eckerd. I've served as chairman of the Downtown Residents Council for 8-plus years and have been involved in downtown Dallas since I began my work career here in the 70s. It is in that capacity that I'm here today to represent the DRC committee members that support the support for this application as presented before the Dallas City Council. The Downtown Residents Council is an organization composed of downtown residents from the various residential communities now consisting of 9,000-plus residents in the CBD of downtown. The DRC meets every other month to discuss various aspects of downtown life and how our lifestyle and neighborhood can improve. We are recognized as the established neighborhood group of the City of Dallas and the State of Texas. We represent the 24 largest residential properties as both tenants and property owners. The volunteer committee meets on a monthly basis. Thanks for the forum. We appreciate the recognition of you recognizing us and knowing that we do now have a downtown voice, and we appreciate that greatly. Thank you for your time.
Your next speaker, Jack Gosnell. Mr. Gosnell will be followed by Amy Sanborn, Jim DePetris, and John Crawford.
Mr. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen of the council, I do retail leasing downtown and have for the last 30 years, and it's been a slow go, as you can imagine. A lot of that's due to the formal nature of downtown and the forbidding aspect of most of our buildings that we developed in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Now we've got a chance at some real retailers coming to downtown for the first time, large box users that fit this building. This is the only building downtown that has parking, which is a big asset to retailers, but more than that, it's got large volume space that'll accommodate three-story heavy-duty users to downtown. The signage is incredibly important to the building, but I'm not just talking about the on-premise signage for the tenants that are in the building. This building needs to scream retail. It needs to set a tone for downtown. It needs to say, we're open for business. Retail is here downtown, and create some vibrancy. And that's what I'm most excited about. And that's all I have to say. But thanks very much, and I appreciate what you all do for the city.
Amy Sanborn.
Hello. My name is Amy Sanborn. I live at 502 Bondstone Drive. Amy Sanborn, 502 Bondstone, 75218. I'm representing Merriman Architects today. So we have been engaged on the project since its inception, and always the goal of this project has been to really create a retail district downtown and to identify this building as a successful retail center. And us being located on the DART line, you know, there's such potential here for just phenomenal retail for downtown Dallas. And so from the beginning, the goal has been to really integrate the signage into the facade of the exterior. And the exterior signage is facade integrated. It is part of the overall design of the exterior. And we have worked to kind of develop a particular type of signage cabinet that I just wanted to show you. And the intent here is just to show that it is not applied. It's not an afterthought. It's not what you're typically seeing in super graphics that are just kind of adhered to the side of the building. It's completely integrated into the exterior. So I just want to show that this would be the dominant facade of the exterior. So we have a metal panel system. It's a rain screen system that would be adhered to the existing substrate. And then the custom perf panel would come over certain areas of it. Tommy Mann is holding up the cabinet there. So this cabinet would be attached to the existing precast substrate once the marble is removed. And this cabinet has a soft LED backlight. There'll be no front lighting applied to the facade. And this is a very heavy, durable vinyl. It's about twice as thick as your typical signage vinyl. And then it tucks in seamlessly into the cabinet frame. So very seamless, integrated design. The construction schedule, the exterior facade would probably be completed in spring of 2017. So that will give you a time frame as to the proposed sunset period of 5 years. Thank you.
Your next speaker, Jim DePetris. Mr. DePetris will be followed by John Crawford.
My name's Jim DePetris. I've been a resident, a property owner. I've been active with many of the projects in downtown since the late 80s. I was chairman of our first association downtown called Dallas City Center. And that same year, the Jewel Hotel building sold for $500,000. And we had one policeman for downtown after six, Lieutenant Kottner. He served on our board. We've now gone from, 500 to 44,000 people in 2 square miles. We set out a platform to try to change downtown, and it was publicized. It wasn't so easy. When we did Pegasus Plaza, the homeless took over the canvas areas, and we had to take them down. It's been a long road. When Tim Heddington came in, we set up another plan that was very similar to the same plan with Dallas City Center to take the 22-block area and try to make it more like Fifth Avenue. All the stakeholders were there. This is the cat meow. This is the main one to put downtown Dallas back over the hump and be a major center for everything, including retail like it was. We really need this. Thank you.
Next speaker, John Crawford.
Good afternoon, John Crawford, 901 Main Street, downtown Dallas, 75202. At the risk of being redundant and to reiterate some of what the other speaker said, I passed out a copy of a letter that really highlights how downtown Dallas feels about this, but I would only say that 1401 clears up a full city block that's ugly. It's been vacant for a number of years, and we're fortunate enough to where we have a developer that stepped up, frankly, with the help of the city of Dallas, to help redevelop this area down there to create something very special. It increases the tax base from about $15 million to ultimately $225 million based on the success of the project. The real X factor that you've heard other speakers speak to is the retail opportunities. We've got a unique opportunity to finally get to a point in downtown Dallas that allows us to build on the platform and satisfy what the residents would like to see happen in downtown Dallas. You've heard from the Residents Council. They're in support of it. The important thing is that it creates jobs while we're building it. It creates jobs after it's built. It creates over 500 new residents for downtown. It increases the sales taxes. And, of course, it really makes a big statement, and somebody else mentioned it, that downtown is open for business. And we've had a problem with that for a number of years. Fortunately, we're at a very crucial point where, and I'll speak to the signage is terribly important to providing what the market wants to buy. Both premise and non-premise advertising is very, very important. We went to the marketplace, we asked the customer, what's it going to take for you to look at downtown Dallas for retail? The one thing that came up invariably was the signage capabilities to do that. So I thank you. It's been previously approved by the CPC and several other review bodies at the city. And just on a personal basis, before I run out of time, I would like to, Mr. Mayor and members of the council, those of you that are leaving here that I've had the pleasure of working with as long as you've been here on a number of things, I just want to say thank you for your commitment to the community, to the city, and certainly to downtown Dallas. As I alluded to on the front end, we wouldn't be where we are without the city of Dallas in downtown today. So thank you all very much.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? And please state your name and address for the record.
Daniel Caldwell, 11029 Shady Trail, number 126, City Council District 6. The city's sign ordinance, as it stands, is currently excessively restrictive, and until that can be revised or repealed, passing an ordinance providing for more permissive provisions to allow either residents or businesses to communicate to the public would be beneficial to the city. So I'm only speaking seeing that the advisory committee spoke against it. Meanwhile, having listened to what has been said, it sounds like they're asking permission to do something extremely reasonable, and so I would like to support them in that.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Mr. Mayor, I move to close the public hearing and bring back the ordinance in 2 weeks with some minor fixes related to sunsetting that we'll discuss here in the comments.
We have a second. Okay, a motion and a second.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. This is a really important project. This council has already approved the major part of the public funding for the project, which is TIF funding. And you all know which building this is. This is down on Elm. It's big and white, and it's marble. You cannot miss it, and it's been a dead building for a decade. It was barely clinging to life when I moved to Dallas, and it has had several developers make false starts. Two. And we now have the right team in place. We have the right financial deal in place. This is merely bringing back what I think, after it's been massaged enough, is a relatively minor sign deal. The signage is, according to what we've learned, critical for retail leasing, and we definitely want to have it. Here's the problem with what's presented currently. There are two kinds of signage allowed by the ordinance that you see before you on the agenda, and one is premise and one is non-premise. And the difference, of course, is we want it, everything you've heard about how the signs support the project all has to do with premise advertising, which, you know, what we hope is that they're going to have high-end retail and neighborhood-serving retail, and those entities need that signage to get downtown residents and visitors into the building. Nobody questions that. The non-premise signage is, you know, advertising for people who aren't there. It is absolutely just a revenue bump for the development. And the reason we regulate against that is because, in general, although in some neighborhoods people feel differently about this, in general, in the city of Dallas, we don't want to overwhelm our visual pictures with unlimited advertising. So what I've asked staff to do is figure out a way to bring this back on a five-year sunset provision with a minimum amount of disruption to the developer in terms of returning to the sign commission and to CPC. So far I've been told that's not possible, but I kind of think I want to work on that just for the next 2 weeks, and we'll bring that back, run the ordinance through. One of the things that I would actually really like to bring forward is the developer's willingness to meet with all of you on council. I think most of you haven't had that many questions about it, but of course, I and Ms. Grayson have frequently had problems with signage, and I would really appreciate the developer meeting with Ms. Grayson and myself to try to develop something that would give us some comfort about the future of this building. If everything goes right, if this leases up the way we think it will, this will be a massive non-issue. The signage will be gobbled up by tenants of the building, and we're all going to love the building and spend our money there, and we'll all be happy. If we have a problem with the development ultimately, which none of us anticipate, and none of us hope for, then we want to have some ability to control what goes up on those boards. And that's the only reason for the two-week delay, just to get the technical fix in on the ordinance. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Kingston. I just want to say I did have the opportunity to meet with the developers because I had some questions, and mine were addressed. And, you know, you have my support. So I thank you for, you know, allowing them to meet with me. And this project has my support at this point. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Kingston, your motion is to close the public hearing but have a two-week delay to see if we can further work on this. Thank you for giving me a way to support this, at least I think at this point, because to nobody's surprise, I wasn't going to be able to support this, but maybe now I can. My concern was that out of the 30,000 square feet of signage that's being requested, 19,000 or almost two-thirds of it was non-premise. Yes, we want to make sure that the retailers who are in that building have every opportunity to advertise that they're in that building. That's premise signage. Non-premise signage is not folks that are in the building. It's other people. And so I got concerned about the amount of non-premise signage. Now, given that the developer has indicated that they need that in order to make this deal work, I certainly would not be averse to, I'd like to be able to support this. It's an important project for downtown, and we need more retail. But I also don't think that we ought to give them unlimited ability to have non-premise signage forever. What we want to do is encourage them to have the tenants come into the building, use the signage for the people who are on premise. So I will be totally supportive of this, Mr. Kingston. I do thank you all for meeting with me. I think I had seven folks come and meet with me, and I very much appreciate that you took all that time to address my concerns. So I will be wholeheartedly supporting your motion to delay with the opportunity to work on this a little more. Thank you. Oh, and by the way, could I just add that I do appreciate the folks on the Special Sign District Advisory Committee. They had meeting after meeting and listened to this and really gave it a lot of consideration, and I want to thank them for that. They didn't just automatically say yay or nay. They spent a lot of time on this, and for that, I personally want to say thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and I'm gung-ho supporting downtown. My colleague in his area, of course, we yield to do that. I want to just thank the downtown group and the developer. Hey, man, you guys are making a difference, and downtown is booming. Being in marketing and advertising myself, when it's a pretty picture, folks want to come. When it looks good, it attracts the right type of retail and folks who want to come in and spend dollars. I'm a little taken aback just a tad because I'm for let's move right now. But our colleague is wanting to do what he needs to do in his district, so we have to adhere to that. But I want you all to know that I'm ready to go. And I'm ready for you guys to go. I know the significance of it. I know that the dollars associated with this will help offset some things because I'm very familiar with the dollars. So hopefully if it comes and you all do what you need to do, then we'll be able to continue to move it forward. If it's a chance to move forward today, I'd be ready. I want you all to know that. So I'm still listening, all right? But I want to just encourage you all to keep up.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't think I really agree with you, Mr. Kingston, with regards to premise versus non-premise. If it's a sign, if we're approving a sign, the size, scope, and shape of it is really what's there. And, unfortunately, we can't legislate against bad taste. And I think delaying is unnecessary in this case.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Then all in favor of Mr. Kingston's motion, say aye. Aye. Any opposed?
No.
One no, two no's? Okay, two no's. Motion passes.
Agenda item number 42 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas thoroughfare plan to change the dimensional classification of number 1, Myrtle Street from Elsie Faye Hagen Street to Bear Street from a four-lane undivided roadway within 60 feet of right-of-way to a special two-lane undivided roadway with a bicycle facility within 50 feet of right-of-way and 36 feet of pavement. And number 2, Bear Street from Myrtle Street to Riverfront Extension from a four-lane undivided roadway within 60 feet of right-of-way to a special two-lane undivided roadway with a bicycle facility within 50 feet of right-of-way and 36 feet of pavement. And at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Make a motion, move forward.
Motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 43 is a public hearing on the proposed sale of one unimproved property acquired by the taxing authorities from the Sheriff to East Dallas Community Organization, EDCO, and at the close of the public hearing, authorize the city manager to, number 1, quit claim one unimproved property to EDCO under the House Bill 110 process of the city's land transfer program, and number 2, release the city's non-tax liens included in the foreclosure judgment and post-judgment non-tax liens, if any. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Atkins.
Motion move forward.
You've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 44 is a public hearing on the proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by Broadstone Farmers Market Property Owner, LLC, located near the intersection of South Cesar Chavez Boulevard and East Arnold Thornton Freeway and adjacent street rights-of-way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to Broadstone Farmers Market Property Owner, LLC, and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. The following statement applies to this item. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would that individual please step forward, state your name and address for the record, please.
Good afternoon. I'm Kenneth Tram. I'm a licensed professional geoscientist in Texas, and I'm here to represent both the applicant and Modern Geosciences, which is located at 5100 Thompson Terrace in Colleyville, Texas. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Any speakers? We have someone coming forward. We have actually two people. Again, you're allowed 3 minutes to speak. State your name and address for the record.
Daniel Caldwell, 11029 Shady Trail, number 126, that is City Council District 6. I have previously spoken against municipal setting designations as something that should never be granted because the effect of the designation under, in addition to reducing the future deed rights of a property owner and preventing the use of the groundwater, is also to serve as a waiver of liability to the owner and past owners for environmental pollution and remediation requirements which might be imposed by the state through the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. This proposal fails to mention that. It also says that there is no cost consideration to the city, which you may note that everything has a cost consideration, even if it is merely administrative, and therefore that administrative costs should be estimated and included in all resolutions, not merely this one. Moving forward with that, the city in its past water plans has noted that in the coming decades there will be a water supply deficit, and if the water underneath the city is not available for use to treat, to provide for water supply, then the city is, in a matter of speaking, shooting itself in the foot by not allowing use of water that it currently has in order to meet those needs. Thank you.
Next speaker.
My name is Susan Rainey. I'm at 2200 Ross Avenue, Suite 2200. I'm with Lock Lord, and I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Broadstone Farmers Market Property Owner, LLC. I'm just here to ask for your support with the MSD, and we'll answer any questions you've got. Thanks.
Okay. Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Medrano.
Move for approval.
Second. Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 45 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by Gas Equipment Company, Inc., Precisely Corp., and AN Luxury Imports Limited, located near the intersection of Forest Lane and Harry Hines Boulevard in adjacent street rights-of-way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to Rochester Gauges, Inc., and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. Again, state law requires that I read the following statement. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would that individual please identify themselves?
Good afternoon. I'm Fred Naraki. I am the professional geoscientist of record for this particular MSD application. I'm with Pastor Beeling and Wheeler out of Austin, Texas. My local address currently is P.O. Box 1027, Aledo, Texas, 76008. It is a temporary office at the moment. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Are there any speakers that would like to speak on the item?
Daniel Caldwell, 11029 Shady Trail, number 126, City Council, District 6. In addition to the points previously mentioned, I will note that in submitting an application for this municipal saving designation, the proposed resolution does not indicate in the resolution any reason why the municipal setting designation would provide a benefit to the applicant to do so, commercially or otherwise, and therefore the resolution in its content does not disclose the reason for its passage, which is to have the city assume the liability for environmental remediation. So, rather than belabor the point again, I will say that all of my previous remarks opposing municipal setting designations, which should not be passed, also apply to this agenda item. Thank you.
No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Alonso.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move for approval.
Got a motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your speakers. Your action items for today. We move forward now to the remaining speakers. Remaining from the additional open microphone category, we have Edward Brown, Marilyn Wisen, Herbert Wilborn, Dolores Phillips, and other speakers that I'll name later. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from the session of the meeting. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. Please state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Again, your first speaker is Edward Brown. Mr. Brown is coming forward. And will be followed by Marilyn Wisen, Herbert Wilborn, and Dolores Phillips.
Good evening. My name is Dr. Edward Brown. I reside at 4763 Clover Haven. I attended a meeting at the Martin Luther King Center on the 24th of April, and I left approximately 8 o'clock. And I walked to my car, which was bound by the library. As I was getting into my car, a black man came up behind me and put a gun in my back and demanded my wallet, my key, and my cell phone, and I gave it to him. After that, I went back into the main building, found a security guard, and reported the incident to him, and we called the police. The thing that, bothered me the most is that I spent 30 years in the Army, and I get to the Martin Luther King Center, going to lose my life. And that's tough. And so what I came up with is that A is a lack of security. And then afternoon, I believe that you must have two security people there. And the lighting was inadequate. And I asked about a camera. And they said it didn't work. Someone told me that the camera haven't worked in 2 years. And I find that totally inappropriate. Because I don't think I look in this building. If I stood here, I seen all these cameras. And you can't get a camera fixed at the Martin Luther King Center. And I hope that you will take this in advice and take care of this issue. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Caraway.
I just want to say to Mr. Brown, we heard you, and I want to thank you for staying here all day to make your point.
Thank you, sir. Okay.
Your next speaker, Marilyn.
My light's on.
I am so sorry.
I'm sorry, Judge Hill.
Thank you. Mr. Brown. Sit down.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Brown, I too want to thank you for coming down. I've seen you sitting there. I didn't know why you were sitting there, but I thank you for waiting. I am very, very sorry that that happened to you. I agree with you about lighting throughout the southern half of the city. I think there's not enough lights. And so I hope that we're able to do something with lights, and I hope somebody on staff can have a minute with you before you leave here today. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
And thank you for your service to this country.
Ms. Callahan.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you for waiting and coming down to tell us that. And it seems to be a reoccurring theme within the city of Dallas that our cameras are broken. I just hope that we can get those fixed. I, too, agree with my colleague that lighting is a terrific problem in the southern half. That's something I've really been amping up lately to make sure our lights are burning, and if there's reevaluating streets, to make sure there is, you know, ample lighting. But I keep hearing every time we have a problem, oh, that camera's not working, that camera's not working. So let's get some cameras fixed and some lights going, and I'm sorry for your trouble, sir.
Mr. Adkins.
Again, Mr. Brown, thank you for coming down also. I know you've been here a long time. It was a long day, but it takes people like you to make sure the city down knows what's going on in the public. And come back again.
Next speaker.
Marilyn Wisen, not present. Herbert Wilborn, not present. Dolores Phillips. Ms. Phillips will be followed by Don Mann, Sherrod Sheffield, David Caldwell, and Patrie Heinonen.
My name is Dolores Phillips, P.O. Box 530236, Grand Prairie, Texas, 75053. You have six separate documents filed with the city secretary's office on yesterday. One is the letter that I received May 4th from the FBI. After appealing for almost 5 years, they said that the 39 pages that they released back in 2010 was the only pages that they had of me coming to FBI and reporting your corruption. After almost 5 years, they have released multiple pages, but what they didn't release was the Sprint bill and the DPD incident detail reports that validate my allegations to be factual. Mayor Rollins, I wanted to say to you that I'm very surprised that you are going into another term harboring corruption. When I went to the meeting that you instructed to have with Corporal Cotner introduced himself, and I said, Mayor Rollins said, we are to resolve this issue. Stone-faced and cold, looking straight forward, not at me, he said, yeah, I spoke to the mayor this morning. And so that feeling that I got from him, I knew that it was going to be nothing nice, because prior to that meeting, before I made it to DPD, I sent documents downstairs regarding UPS. And I believe you got a call and said, hold me by any means necessary, so I couldn't mail those court documents. And that's what I believe, and that's what I will testify in the court of law, because all your non-coincidental ongoing circumstances of injustices does not make sense, except for that it is a cover-up. I also wanted to say what was unleashed here to cover up corruption, and that I'm battled by corruption for speaking of corruption, perfectly explains why people of color, minorities but mainly of color, are marching nationwide and now speaking openly of what systemic racism is and what systemic injustices are. And systemic racism exists to persist because of systemic cover-ups. It's because of what all you do. And minorities fail to realize that even though you might be battled and violated by white supremacy, it is minorities that condone it and enable it and allow it to continue to have ongoing, unsuspecting minorities, more so blacks, being brutalized by the system. And I share with you humbly, I was going to give everything back in peace and truth. And there's no nice way to give back racism. But for whatever reason, the minority who speaks of brutal racism is always considered the irate one, the angry one. Racism is angry. Racism is malicious. Racism hurts, it harms, it murders. And And what I want you to do for me is to ask your wife and your daughter if they had went to a police station to resolve known corruption and they were unlawfully detained and unlawfully arrested, how would they feel? I don't want to be treated any better than or less than your wife or your daughter.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Dawn Mann. Ms. Mann will be followed by Sherrod Sheffield, David Caldwell, and Patrie Heinonen.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Dawn Mann. My address is 1409 South Lamar, Dallas, and I'm here representing Texas Discovery Garden. I'm a board member, and we are up for budget review, and so I wanted to come and just give you some key facts about Texas Discovery Garden and why we believe that we should get our budget increased. So in 1992, we were receiving a $92,000 stipend. In 2009, that decreased to $68,000. And in 2011, that went back up to $96,000. For 2015, as we did in 2014, we are asking for a $149,000 increase, and that would bring the Texas Discovery Garden stipend up to $245,000. So before 2009, that stipend provided us with 18% of our budget. Today, the stipend only provides us with 8.7% of our budget. So that 91%, we are having to fill that gap. We are doing it, but it's very, very difficult, as you can imagine, but we are filling that gap. And we're doing that with three distinctive ways, in my opinion. First, we have a stellar staff. I mean, you cannot beat the staff that we have, and I will put them up against any Fortune 500 company, but specifically our executive director, Dick Davis, is just not only a remarkable man, but he has stretched the budget, pulled it, trimmed it, done everything possible in even getting out and climbing on roofs and fixing things himself on his own time, not during his office hours, to make sure that the Texas Discovery Gardens is maintained not only for the staff but also for the visitors and families and students and scholars that come and visit every day. And then we also have just staff that work there every day who do the job of one and a half or two people because we're not able to hire another person. And so they are taking on extra tasks and not getting compensated for that, and we would like to fix that. And also our volunteers give us thousands and thousands of hours a year that we don't have to pay staff for. They not only greet the guests that come in, but they are out and they're master gardeners, and they're doing the hard work that it takes to maintain such wonderful acreage there. I'll leave you with this. For Prop 8, you asked us to invest in the people that are sitting here, and we did that. And so I'm just asking for that same opportunity for investment for the Texas Discovery Gardens. As our Dallas ISD students go there, our City of Dallas families attend there, and they become educated not only on green and sustainable living, but are able to be there in a peaceful environment that is beautiful, and that should be a beacon for South Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you. For Ms. Grayson.
Ms. Mann, I just wanted to say you and several of your colleagues on the board have come and talked to us. Would
yes.
you send us, if you have already sent us something in writing detailing
yes.
some of these, I'm afraid I missed it. Would you send it to me again?
I
and
will.
If you all haven't, would you send us all something that details all of those facts and figures in writing
Absolutely.
So we can look at that for our budget?
Absolutely. I have my laptop. I can do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, but you still have influence, and I think it's just the educational part
Thank
of it, and so it's important.
Thank you.
Yeah, send it to all of us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Sherrod Sheffield. Not present. David Caldwell. Mr. Caldwell will be followed by Petri Heinonen.
You will note that there was a typo that was Daniel Caldwell, not David Caldwell. There was also a typo in the email that I sent through the city secretary's office that said that voter turnout was less than 90%. No, it was supposed to be less than 10%. at the recent election. And that is not merely voter apathy, but also apathy on the part of the incumbency to inform the electorate. For example, here in City Hall on the first floor, there are zero bulletin boards that at any point until I put up with approval from the Human Resources Department an announcement that there was going to be an election. Why back in March, after the candidates were known, did the City Hall administration and staff not even make it a point to inform the city employees who, even after the start of voting, did not know that there was an election last week? That is apathy on the part of the administration, not on the part of the voters. And I'm asking that, as I mentioned in the email, our government take an active part in engaging the community and letting people know that they do have a voice that needs to be heard. Here in City Hall, the experience of the public in coming to speak to the City Council is, in fact, quite negative. You're treated like a terrorist no less than twice before you can speak to your City Council representatives, asked to take your belt off, empty your pockets, and so forth. The security on our city streets, as mentioned by Mr. Brown earlier, is, well, marginal. And if it's good enough for us, it's good enough for you, too. Honestly, meanwhile, as we speak about our law enforcement, I note that the only city employees who have a right to be politically active are the law enforcement officers and firefighters. Every other city employee is specifically prohibited from any kind of activity, but they're given an exception. Meanwhile, four out of five of them don't live in the city of Dallas. So those who do not live in the city of Dallas have more right to participate in the political process in Dallas than those who live here. That is BS. I mentioned that in the email as a resolution that the city council can act on. Meanwhile, in speaking of the experience of the public in city council meetings, we're prohibited from standing and leaning on the banister from talking at all. That's mistreatment of the public.
Your final speaker, Petri Heinonen.
I'm sorry. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Petri Heinonen. My address is 1860 Branch Trail, Carrollton, Texas. And I'm the territory manager here in Texas of a company called Life Wireless. Today I'm here to ask the City of Dallas to support a permit or license for Life Wireless for the government-supported Lifeline program activation events. A little bit about Life Wireless as a company. Life Wireless is part of the Telluride Corporation, and it's an eligible Lifeline telecommunication carrier and headquartered in Covington, Georgia, and established in 2010. Today, over 500 employees and contractors work for Telluride. Life Wireless provides the government-supported Lifeline services right now in 32 states, with Texas being one of the strongest markets for the Lifeline program. The city is right now in Texas, where we are working very strongly, is, for example, Fort Worth, Houston, San Antonio, and Austin. As of February 2015, Life Wireless served over 630,000 Lifeline customers nationwide. In Texas, we serve right now over 86,000 customers eligible for the Lifeline program. So the Life Wireless mission is to drive awareness and availability of the Lifeline program to underserved markets across the U.S. in order to reach those most in need of an affordable and government-supported phone service program. How this happens on a daily basis is that our managers organize sales events in the community, often partnering with local nonprofit organizations and private businesses. Private business owners helping Life Wireless reach Lifeline eligible population and eligible subscribers. Life Wireless is proud to be a part of the Lifeline program, helping the most in need to stay connected to their loved ones, employers, medical providers, and emergency service providers. The current state here in the city of Dallas, we don't have a permit or license from the city of Dallas to provide the service for the people in need here in the city of Dallas. We have been trying to get that done, but obviously that's something that needs to be discussed more in detail. Life Wireless does not sell anything or take any money during these events. So by sharing a deeper understanding of our business and the requirements of City of Dallas, we hope that the City of Dallas provides Life Wireless a permit or license so that we can continue our Lifeline work for those that will truly benefit from it. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the final speaker, Mr. Mayor.
Meeting, Ms. Gates. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, do we have somebody here for the permit office that can work with this man?
We'll grab it. Thank you.
Okay, to that. And then just a question, City Secretary's office. Do we... I know we put down the speakers, we keep records. Do we keep the time of how long every session we listen to the public speaking, that segment?
We haven't been keeping track of that at all. We could start. But
it was interesting. One of our speakers asked the cost consideration of the staff. And there is the staff is present. I know it's our responsibility to listen to the public and meet with the public, but it is a cost consideration to the staff. So maybe we should point out, what is costing the staff then to listen to the speakers.
We'll continue. Thanks.
Thank you. Meeting's adjourned, 3:21 p.m. Thank you.